Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on debt when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership, private property, and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses are the exact opposite to private rights, and permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level, from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by government agencies like OSHA, or the EPA, the State Tax Commission, Zoning and Planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies who are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot you can do, and the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package, and let me tell you more about what it is that you're not supposed to know about private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on to the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about debt. The average debt of the American household is now up to $84,454. That means that if you're average, you've got an $80,000 household debt. That's exclusive of your mortgage and your automobile. Now, the two big debts that you have, if you're a normal Joe Sixpack, is you got a mortgage on your house. That's bad. That's bad. And that's got you bound down for 30 years or 25 years or 15 more years or whatever. Then you've got a car debt. And this automobile that you're driving around costs you $8,700 a year on average. If you're an average Joe Sixpack, you're spending $9,000 a year maintaining one car. Now, fortunately, the average American only has 9/10 of a car. And that's probably the biggest problem that he has. He's got 9/10 of a car, and the damn thing is always in the shop trying to get that 1/10 put back on it. Now, I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't have a car and you need to get rid of your house or you need to get rid of this, that, or something else, but I thought I would share with you a couple of three secrets, you know, from a couple of us old-timers who've been around for a while, as to how it is that we made a little money in our lifetimes. Now, I'm debt-free. I don't have any debt. And I've got two nickels that I rub together. I reach in my desk, pull out my two nickels, rub them together every day, put them back in my desk just to make sure that I've got two nickels to rub together, so they send the depression years. And I think that everybody in America ought to be debt-free and have two nickels to rub together. And there was a time in America when most Americans had that. But they don't any longer. And America is not the wealthiest nation in the world. America is the most debt-ridden nation in the world. In fact, we're about to be foreclosed on internationally. Internationally. Our public parks have already been foreclosed on. They are called biospheres and they belong to other national governments. Did you know that? Or they belong to the United Nations. And your house, if you've got a mortgage on it, doesn't belong to you, and you're not a homeowner. Get that out of your head. You're not a homeowner unless you own the home free and clear. The bank is a homeowner. The savings and loan is a homeowner. You are an equitable interest holder in due process. If you continue to make all of the payments on this house, you can have it. But if you don't make every single payment, then they're going to take the house away from you. And the worst thing that can happen is that you successfully make 359 payments on your 30-year mortgage and miss the last one. That's the worst case scenario. Now, the best case scenario is that you pay that mortgage off and that you own that home free and clear. And I'm going to show you before we get to the end of the series of programs here how to do just that. But I broached the subject last time and I said, now, the way you do that is you always save half and you pay yourself first. But before we get to how do you pay yourself a half, how do you live your life and accumulate money and wealth? How do you live the good life that every American wants to live? Everybody in the world wants to live the good life. Now, the average person in the world is living on $2 a day, $2 a day. If you're an average American, you're making $16.57 an hour. That's 16.57 times H is $132.56 a day. Divided by 2 is 66 times more money than the average person on planet Earth. You make 66 times more money than the average guy on planet Earth. You should be living 66 times better than the average guy on planet Earth. There's no doubt about that. But if you've got a house that's mortgaged, you're in quicksand, partner. You lose your job for 90 days, and two-thirds of Americans, 70% as a matter of fact, can't withstand the loss of a job for 90 days. Well, that's no way to live for a guy that's making 66 times more money than the average guy on planet Earth. It seemed like to me that you'd have more security than that. Now, if I don't work for the next 90 days, nobody's going to take my house. If I don't work for the next year, 5 years, or 10 years, the house is safe. Nobody's going to take it. Still going to be here. And I've still got a couple of cows, and I still got a little garden out here. I can raise enough vegetables and kill a cow once in a while, maybe a sheep, and have a little meat and potatoes, and get by quite nicely. I think everybody in America ought to be on that road. Now, if you don't want to, that's your choice in life. Hell, I'm not here to tell you that you need to leave the city and leave your job. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're debt-free or you're buried in debt. It's irrelevant to me. But if you're having problems making your payments on this $84,000 worth of debt every month, I used to be there. See, I had 28 credit cards and I couldn't make the payments on them. And I know the gut-wrenching gastric acidosis that you develop when you can't make those payments. And then it causes sharp tempers, hard feelings, and bitter arguments with the wife. You can improve your sex life by just being able to pay your bills, kids. I mean, that's just, and Americans are concerned about their sex life. You know, there's four things that you're really concerned about in life. Remember what those were? There's four things that you're really, really concerned about. It's making more money. That's number one. Making yourself more sexually attractive is number two. Sleeping is number three. And spending money is number four. Those are the four top things that you think about every day. Sex, making money, spending money, and sleeping. Now, you can do all four of those and do it a hell of a lot better if you're not in debt. Now, according to the USA Today and Bankrate.com, the average debt of the American household is $84,000. One out of every 73 of those households had to file for bankruptcy protection in 2003. The average credit card debt is around $9,000, three times what it was in 1990. Not only are we as a whole getting further in debt, but we aren't saving any money either. And Americans are saving just under 2% of their income since 2000, down from 8% in the 1980s. What's behind the reasoning for this seemingly careless attitude towards debt and savings in this country? Well, it seems through recent surveys and studies that Kentuckians are going into debt for much the same reasons as the rest of the nation. It's for necessities. I'm going to underline that. It's for necessities. I mean, it's not luxuries. I mean, you people aren't spending your money on luxuries. You're just trying to get by buying the necessities. And boy, I think you're going to be kind of surprised at what these necessities are. Let me show you some necessities. Car, clothes washer, clothes dryer, home air conditioning, microwave, TV set, car air conditioning, home computers, cell phones, dishwashers, cable or satellite TV, high-speed internet, flat-screen TV, and an iPod. Now, those are the things that Americans said were necessities. Not one item on here has anything to do with food, clothing, or shelter. Now, the average guy in the world is living on $2 a day. All he cares about is enough food in his belly. And can I stand someplace out of the rain? That's what he's concerned about, on $2 a day. The average American, what's he concerned about? His automobile, number one. Here's what Americans need. Now, I want you to get this through your head. Now, here's what you people out there say when you're surveyed say you need. 91% of you say you need a car. Boys and girls, I lived without an automobile when I was a kid. We didn't have a car. We got along nicely without a car. I would contend that you can live without a car in 2007. Clothes washer and a clothes dryer. Jesus. The average person in the world doesn't even have electricity, kids. What in the hell is he going to do with a clothes washer or a clothes dryer? Somebody's going to write me an email now and say, yeah, if you want to live like those fools over in Chad. Well, excuse me, but when you go bankrupt and they take your house and your car and your washer and everything away from you, how are you going to live, kids? Where are you going to plug your clothes washer in out on the sidewalk where you're headed? Where are you going to wash your clothes in your car where you're going to be living on the curb someplace, you know, parking and sleeping in your car? Home air conditioning. Hell, I'm an old man and I don't have home air conditioning. Microwave. I wouldn't have one if you gave me six. I wouldn't take them. TV set. Yep, I've got a TV set, but hey, kids, I was born in the era before TV. I lived, until I was 14 years old before I ever saw a damn television. Car air conditioning. I've got it, but it doesn't work. So what I do is I roll the window down. And I've got air conditioning in my car, and the damn thing doesn't work. And every time I go get it recharged and get it fixed, it works about five times, and the damn thing don't work again. I quit on it. to hell with air conditioning, home computer. I'm still using 3x5 cards, kids. Listen, I'm debt-free and I use 3x5 cards. I couldn't even turn the damn computer off. The other day a thunderstorm was coming through. I had to pull the plug. I didn't know how to turn it off, much less turn it on. Cell phone. I got to concede, we got a cell phone. 49% of Americans believe it's an absolute necessity. We've got a dishwasher. I think that's a luxury, that dishwasher. The cell phone, that's a luxury. Cable or satellite TV, I don't have cable or satellite TV. I got an antenna up on the roof. It gets four channels. Two of them pretty good. Now, wait a minute. Now, if I wanted satellite TV, I can get it for $140. Last time I was over at the DX station, they're trying to sell that to me. He said, for $140, you can have a dish on your house, and for $40 a month, actually, it's only $39.95. I can get 100 channels. And so over there talking, the guy said, well, what about those dirty channels, the ones I don't want? And he said, well, you know, you can block those. I said, I don't want to block them. I don't want to pay for them. I don't want them dirty channels coming into my house. And I said, now, here's what I want to buy. I want to buy the History Channel, and I want to buy Disney. And I gave him, you know, three or four. I said, I'd like that. There's a couple of channels, you know, that are educational, like PBS. I'd like to get that one and so on. And he said, well, you can't just choose. You've got to take them all. I said, what? Wait a minute. Hang on a second, kids. If I went into a car dealer and I said, now, listen, I want to buy a stripped-down model without a radio, without a heater, and without white sidewall tires, what's he going to tell me? Well, you can't buy a car without a radio and a heater. Well, hell, we used to buy cars without radios and heaters. Nice kid. I haven't tried to buy a new car, and all of my cars have radios and heaters in them, but you know, it isn't because I have to have a heater or I have to have an air conditioner in it. I mean, you know, what you need in life is food, clothing, and shelter. Now, I don't know very many people that can live long without food, without clothes, or without shelter. Now, of course, you don't need many clothes in Hawaii, but not all of us live in Hawaii. And where I live here in Missouri, if you don't have clothes on in wintertime, you know, you're going to get powerful cold. And you kind of need a roof over your head, something a little bit more than just keeping the rain off you, too. So I thought I'd point out a couple of these things called necessities. You know what we Americans call necessities, I think we've got our heads up our hind ends. This is nonsense. Now, I don't begrudge anybody having a car with air conditioning. Shucks, you know, I've got a car with air conditioning, but I can afford it, and I own it free and clear. Nobody's going to take it away from me, and I got 3 months of wages stashed away, and I'm not concerned about whether I work or not for the next 3 months. And if you are and you got that $84,000, I don't have $84,000 worth of consumer debt. I'm not average. I'm way below average. And shucks, I don't even come close to being average. You know, so here again, for instance, medical debt is the cause of 1 in every 20 bankruptcies. 1 in 20 bankruptcies is caused by medicine. I don't have any health insurance. None. Zero. Zilch. And you really don't need health insurance either. Not in this country. We have socialized medicine. Government pays for all of your medicine. You people just don't know how to use it. I don't use medicine because it's bad for you. But even if you wanted to use medicine, there isn't any need for you to pay for it because it's free. Just ask any Mexican or Costa Rican who comes to the United States and has a free baby in Miami, for crying out loud. Those people south of the border know more about your medical system in the United States than you Americans do. You've had free medical care in this country since the 1960s. Didn't you know that? The only people that pay for medical care over here are people that have college educations and don't know what the hell the rules are, what the laws are. Not that you should be using it. I mean, I'd stay as far away from a doctor or a hospital as I could get. Going to a doctor is worse than Flo's whorehouse. Your chances of getting a disease, a fatal disease, at your local doctor's office are 10 times greater than in a whorehouse. Did you know that? 130,000 Americans a year are dying because of iatrogenic disease. I've never heard of 130,000 people a year dying at the whorehouse. Whorehouses are safer than doctor's offices. You know, let's grow up and get real and start recognizing where the rubber meets the road, huh? All right, now, for instance, medical debt is the cause of 1 in every 20 bankruptcies. Well, this medical service that you think that you can't live without, not only can you live without it, you'll live better without it. And I'll show you how to do that. And then the typical person affected is retired on a fixed income and relying on high interest rate credit cards to purchase expensive prescriptions. Kids, you shouldn't have any prescriptions at all. That's witchcraft. That's a violation of the Mosaic Law. You shouldn't have any credit cards at all. You're paying interest and usury. It's against the law to pay interest. Kids, you don't want health insurance. It violates the strict liability statute of Exodus 21. So here's three areas here that you've run up this $84,000 debt, thinking that these were necessities. Run through them again. You think, for instance, that medical debt is a necessity, credit cards are a necessity, and prescription medicines are a necessity. I don't even think that they're intelligent luxuries, but then, you know, I wouldn't tell you not to buy prescription drugs. I wouldn't tell you that you shouldn't buy heroin or cocaine or marijuana. You know, those are choices that people make in life. If you've got so much disposable income that you don't know what to do with it, that you need to go snort it up your nose, well, shucks, no skin off my back. I shouldn't be telling people how to live their lives, but you know, if you're $84,000 in debt, you haven't got a 3-month supply of money on hand to pay your mortgage on your house, and you're snorting coke, I don't think that's a very wise decision to make. And you know, you don't have to be a cokehead to figure that out either. Now, on the other hand, or the other end of the spectrum over here, you've got college kids just starting out being swamped with pre-approved credit cards in their CPOs every day. I don't know what a CPO is. College post office box, I guess it is, CPO. How tempting is that for a kid fresh out of high school, away from home for the first time, with books to buy and nothing but ramen noodles on top of his dorm microwave? The average interest rate on a credit card is 18.9%. Imagine what this kid with little or no bad credit has. Most graduate students have at least 6 credit cards, and 1 in 7 owes more than $15,000. Let me tell you, kids, making money in life isn't done with credit cards. Now, there are people that can handle credit cards, and I'm not one of them. I tried that. I had 28 of them. I maxed them all out and couldn't pay them off. I went on that trip. I couldn't handle it. And so, you know, I'm an old man, and I don't have any credit cards. And I live my life just fine without them. There was life before credit cards. There was life with credit cards. And now I've discovered there's life outside of or past credit cards. Now, if you want debt, and if you want a gastrointestinal disorder about the 28th, 29th, and 30th, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th days of the month trying to pay your bills, I don't care. It's up to you. But again, if you'd like to be debt-free, you know, in a reasonable period of time, you know, I'm saying, you know, something on the order of, you know, 5 years. Of course, I don't know what your debt level is. But now I can tell you this, that if you're at zero COD, I mean, if you're free and clear, and you don't have any debt, I can show you how in 36 months, you should have $100,000 worth of gold buried in a hole in the ground in 36 months from zero COD. In fact, if you're making less than $100,000 a year, right now today in 2007, if you're in the middle class making $18,000 to $88,000 a year, I think you're wasting your time. I think you're wasting your skills and abilities. You should be making $100,000 a year or more starting in 36 months, starting at zero COD. Most of you people can't do that. You're not at zero COD. You're at minus $84,000, and that's just on your consumer debt. Then you're at minus $237,000 on your house. And then you're at minus $15,000 or $20,000 on your car. And then you've probably got some student loans out there, and you're at minus, you know, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on your student loans. I have students that come into school all the time, and they tell me what their debt levels are, and it just boggles my mind. I sit here, and I listen to these people, and I shake my head like, huh? Huh? And you people call this living? You call this the wealthiest nation in the world? Listen, you got a guy over here with a $30,000 car that he owes $20,000 on. He's got a $200,000 house that he owes $230,000 on. He's got $80,000 worth of consumer debt. And then he's got a bunch of other ancillary debts, you know, like his student loans, and that's maybe another $15,000, $20,000. You call this guy wealthy? Oh, yeah, he's pulling in $50,000 or $100,000 a year because he's a doctor or something over here, and you say, this is wealth? Have we taken leave of our senses in this country? Have we gone just stark raving lunatic mad? Kids, that's not wealth. Debt's not wealth. It's the opposite to wealth. Wealth is when you own your house free and clear. Wealth is when whatever you're driving, you own. Wealth is being debt-free. Wealth is having some cash on hand, whether it's in the form of Federal Reserve notes or gold or silver or wheat, corn, beans, honey, or oil, but that's what wealth is. Wealth is measured in cows and acres and houses and barns and buildings and gold and silver. It's not measured in debt and credit cards and what kind of a car you drive. Well, owning a collection agency, I hear it all. Every excuse under the sun is given to me as to why someone cannot pay a bill that they're responsible for. A lot of times, those excuses are valid, and I always do everything within my power to work with anyone that's willing to show me some respect. But it never ceases to amaze me how little people understand about their finances and how money works in general. It's not that the people I speak with are not intelligent. They are. It just seems as if these basic concepts are not taught in our school systems or by our parents well enough anymore. I do not believe that our children should have to sacrifice their credit on a live-and-learn basis. Well, I do. Look at this credit over here. I don't have any credit. My name is George Gordon. I'm free and clear, and I don't have any credit. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she was really concerned about her credit. And I said, how much money do you have, sweetheart? This girl makes $100,000 a year, and she's a CPA. She works at a bank. Her husband makes $100,000 a year, and he's a computer whiz. And they've got 3 or 4 houses, and they don't own any of them. With that kind of money, you'd think that these people ought to be rolling in real estate, free and clear. No, they got debt up the yin-yang, just like everybody else does in life. And that's because they have their credit. Credit is not wealth, kids. Credit is not wealth. Gold is wealth. Cattle is wealth. Land is wealth, you know, assuming that you own it. cows that the PCA owns, land that the Federal Land Bank owns, a house that the Bank of America owns, or a car that GMAC owns and you drive, live in, milk, or live on, isn't wealth. It's just an equitable interest that you have as the party of interest. Nothing more, nothing less. And as long as you make your payments, you can keep using it. And when you quit making your payments, they're going to take it away from you. Wealth is something that you accumulate, put on your balance sheet, and it's an asset. You know, I don't have 1,000 cows. But the 3 or 4 cows that I have, I own. They're mine. And I don't have a lot of land like Ted Turner, but the 3 or 4 acres that I've got, I own them, and they're mine. Now, that's what we used to call in this country wealth. Now, here's a guy who runs a collection agency. And his business in life is collecting money. His business in life is knocking on your door, calling you on the telephone, and badgering you to pay up. That's what his business is. And he says, here's his little thing over here says, it just seems to me that if these basic concepts are not taught in our school system by our parents or by our schools well enough anymore. He says, it just seems as if these basic concepts of money and money handling and money control aren't being taught. Okay, I'll agree with that. I think the guy's exactly right. Now, when I was a kid, I was told never go into debt. Did I listen? No, I went into debt. I was told as a kid, never pay interest. Did I pay interest? You bet. I went right out and I started paying interest. How did it work for me? It didn't work for me any better than it's working for you or these other people out here. I failed at it. My debt 101 failed totally. I didn't like it. I wasn't happy with it. I didn't make any money with my debt and my credit cards. When I got rid of the credit cards, I learned how to make a little money. Then I learned how to count. Checking accounts didn't do it for me either. Banks didn't do it for me. There was life before banks. There'll be life after banks. Now, my daughter told me the other day she couldn't live without her bank accounts. And that may be true. But I'll tell you that most of the people in the world living on $2 a day don't have a bank account. And they're getting by. In fact, if you want to be in the top one half of the people in the world, all you need is $2,300. If you're free and clear with $2,300 in your pocket, you're in the top 50% of wealth possessors on planet Earth. Boys and girls, if you've got $500,000 worth of land, cattle, etc., free and clear, you're in the top 1%. Hell, you're up there with Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Top 1% only requires a half a million inflated U.S. bucks today to be in the top 1% of the wealth possessors, not earners now, those that actually possess wealth. Now, there's a lot of people that make a lot of money. But as my old granny said, they haven't got a pot to pee in, they ain't got a place to put it or a window to throw it out of. Well, not one that they own. And that's because the pot they don't own and the window that they're throwing it out of belongs to the finance company. Hey, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed to the website as well. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. That's area code 417-273-4967. 4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about debt, something that nearly all Americans have. And there's a couple of articles here that I've been citing from, and I want to give those guys credit for their articles. One of them here, the one I'm citing from here, the average debt of the American household, $84,000. www.gather.com. How do you like that? It's either easy one. www.gather, G-A-T-H-E-R.com. The one I really liked here on this, 1,000 Ways to Waste Your Money. I thought that was a pretty good article there. It's www.bandersnatch.com, spelled B-A-N-D-E-R-S-N-A-T-C-H. And we're covering an article now, the average debt on the average American home here. No, average debt on the American average American family. www.gather.com. It's so important to not only watch your debt and pay attention to the amount of interest that you're paying carefully, but to be saving money also. Saving should be of the utmost importance to every family, regardless of your financial ability. If you truly focus on your spending and you keep track of what you spend and where you spend it, you can begin to cut some excess spending. Take the money saved from eating out, getting a gourmet coffee, or going to the movies, and set it aside in some sort of interest-building savings plan. Excuse me, I'm going to underline interest-building savings plan. I don't have any interest-building savings plan, and I got plenty of money. And I ain't telling you how much, I'm just going to tell you, I got plenty. I'm satisfied with what I've got, and I tried that interest. Let me tell you, if you're saving your money in an interest-building savings account, you're losing your hiney. Let me give you a couple of factors. If you're building your savings in stocks and bonds, you are a moron. You can't count. You need to go back and learn how to count. Let me show you reality here. From 1960 to 2000, the average return on stocks, that's all the stocks that are out there in the stock place, the stock market, yielded 4.8% net average per year, compounded annually from 1960 to 2000. 4.8. Excuse me, I got it backwards here. 5%. Put down 5%. That's what your stocks delivered to you. Now, here's 4.8. The inflation rate was 4.8% at the same time, and the profit, the 5% profit, you had to pay taxes on. And the tax was 28% of that 5%. Let me just figure that out. Take 5 times 0.28. It's 1.4. Take 5. And then take 1.4. That's 3.6. Now take 3.6 from 4.8. 4.8, take away 3.6, is 1.2. From 1960 to the year 2000, the average loss that you made on your stock portfolio was 1.2%. That was your loss. Can you follow that? All right. So stocks didn't make any money. So when these people who go to college, and they honestly, God, believe this crap that they're actually telling you, they're telling you that you should put your money in the bank in a passbook savings account or invest it in stocks and bonds in some kind of interest-bearing account. The Bible tells you plainly, don't practice interest. Can you follow that, kids? Don't practice adultery. Is there anything that you're having a hard time understanding about adultery? Don't do. Is there something that you don't understand about don't? Do not. Forget it. All right. If you can understand no and don't, I think you probably got this by the short hairs. Now let's start thinking about this in intelligent terms. If you want to save, which I think you should be saving it in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, something that's tangible. For instance, let me show you. The other day I saw the price of toilet paper is over in the discount store, is 49 cents a roll at the discount store, 49 cents. I told the wife, I said, ask Tim how much that is, buy it all. All right, now I've got some toilet paper up here in my attic. And I paid 79 cents for the toilet paper. Let's take 79 cents. And let's divide that by 4, and we get 19.75 cents. That's about 20 cents a roll. You follow this, kids? 20 cents a roll. Write it down. I paid 20 cents a roll. Over the last 10 or 15 years, I put 1,200 rolls of toilet paper up in my attic. I carry an inventory of 1,200 rolls of toilet paper. Now, you go to work tomorrow, and you tell your friends at the office that you listen to this guy on the radio, and he's got 1,200 rolls of toilet paper in the attic that I paid 25 cents a roll for. 25 times 1,200 rolls is $300. I invested $300 in my toilet paper stash at 25 cents a roll. My toilet paper stash at a discount store is worth $600 today. I doubled my money. All right. How many of you people have doubled your money in your stock portfolio or in your interest-bearing passbook account at the bank over the past 6 years? And with that, I rest my case. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think you should waste your time on interest-building savings plans. I think you should invest in real tangibles that you're going to use, you know, like wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. I'll tell you another little story. I was over at Tim and Jim's here, it was just about 2 years ago, and they had a pallet load of olive oil, extra virgin olive oil came in. I'm trying to think how many cans I bought here. I think it was 157 cans. And the price was $14 on those cans. I said, well, if I buy all 157 cans, seems to me that the wife got those down to $10 a can. Because, see, I knew his cost in there at $14, he paid $7. By taking them all, he wipes out his inventory, makes $3 a can, takes his money, goes buy another pallet load or buy something else. So we got them for $10, so I'm in them $1,570. Do you know how much that olive oil is selling for today? $56 a can. Let's see what I paid for that. I paid $15.70 and I got 157 cans times $56. That's what he told me the other day, $56. That's $8,792. I'm up for $87.92. That's what my olive oil is worth today. And I paid $15.70 for it. So take your $87.92 and let's subtract $15.70 from that. I made $7,222 in about 2 years. Now let's take the 7222 divided by 2, which is 3611, and let's divide that by 1570. That's 3611 divided by 1570. Isn't that 230%? I made 230% on my olive oil the other day. Now, boys and girls, I think that that's better than a few paltry percentage point practicing usury and interest in the stock market and in the bank. Now, I know you went to public school, and I know they told you about banks and about that $100,000 insured limit on your passbook savings account and all that. I'm fully aware of that. But there's no money in it. There's money in toilet paper. There's money in olive oil. There's money in business. Now, there's money in copper and futures, and there's money to be made in all kinds of neat deals out here. And that's why I keep telling you, I mean, if you're not making $100,000 a year, I think you're wasting your time. If you're working at a job with George Bush, who told you that what you want is a job, you know, I think, you know, that's fine. You can pay your bills and, you know, probably live your life, but that's not the way to make money. So I tried it. I mean, I worked for the big corporation. I worked for International Harvester. I was a biggie, and I didn't make any money there. And I went out into the marketplace, and I paid income tax and Social Security for God knows how long. I can tell you how long it was. Started about 23 and did that until I was 40, 33, 17 years. I paid income tax and Social Security for 17 years and I didn't make a dime. I figured that it took about 33% of everything I created and produced to pay Social Security and income tax. And then I woke up one day and I said, I don't think this income tax is all it's made out to be. I think that a 10% tithe is better than a 17% income tax. Now, I don't know about you, but it looks like 7 percentage points better to me. Now, this Social Security thing over here, this is where you get to retire on $805 a month. I think that's what my retirement would have been. Now, I want to tell you that I'm pushing 70. I'm eligible for Social Security. I could go down and sign up. I haven't. I'm not going to. I don't have the mark of the beast. That's what, you know, all I got to do is go down and get my Social Security number and then go back to my old accounts. And I got some proving to do, but $800, I wouldn't get out of bed for $800 a month. Did you hear that? I wouldn't get out of bed for $800 a month. It's a waste of time. Now, if you're retired on Social Security and you're just barely getting by, you know, that's fine. It's a choice that you made, and you made it, and God bless you. I hope you made the right choice and you're happy with it. But I did the arithmetic on that, and that Social Security ain't all it's cracked up to be. And I figured that if you took the same amount of money, just the same amount of money that you're paying into Social Security, this is for you young kids out there, and you invested that in an insurance company annuity at 5% over 40 years, you would do three times better with the annuity than you will with Social Security. Three times better. Now, you're going to lose your hiney with the annuity, and you're going to lose your hiney and maybe three more hineys with it with Social Security in its purchasing power, because every dollar that you're paying in today that you're going to collect 40 years from now, do you know what the purchasing power is going to be 40 years from now? And somebody's going to write me a letter and say, but there's the cost of living index. Yeah, that's right. And last year, the government raised your Social Security with your COLA, that's your cost of living index, by 3.4%, while inflation went up 10.9. Let's just do that for kicksies here. 10.9, and then let's take away 3.4. And they stole 7.5% from you. Isn't that just real special? That's why I'm telling you, kids, I don't think insurance, I don't think interest, which are strictly prohibited in the scripture, are the ways to make money. I think buying olive oil for $10 a can and watching it go up in value to $56 a can is the better way to make money. I think. That's what I do. Works real good for me. Let me suggest it to you. Now, I'm reading to you from an article here, and this article here is www.gather.com. Guy's got some good information. $84,000 is what you people on average are carrying as household debt. That's not good. I don't have that kind of debt. I'm not average. And if you'd like to get off of this average, I mean, if you'd like to eliminate that $84,000 debt, if you'd like to get out from under that car debt and that house debt, and you'd like to have a house free and clear, a car free and clear, I got to tell you that I'm not driving a 2007 BMW free and clear. I ain't got that kind of money. But I can drive a 1999 GMC free and clear. You know, I got a 1989 Chevy van free and clear. Got a 1987 Chevy pickup free and clear. They all run real good, too. Took it over to the DX station the other day. Had them look at it and make a couple of repairs. Seemed to be doing all right. Now, if you just got to have a brand new car with the debt, I gave you that article yesterday. It's 1,000 ways to waste your money. Consumer Education Department of the General Delivery University. That's in program number one in the series. 1,000 ways to waste your money. If that's what you want to do, stick with the program you got. Your credit card program just can't miss. If you want $84,000 in debt, get two more credit cards. If you're not up to $84,000, you need more credit cards. If you want to get out of debt, burn the damn credit cards that you got, and let's start talking serious turkey now about how do you get out from under this debt. Now, this debt isn't an accident. This is being generated by banks and government officials. They're not sending out credit cards to kids in college because they're just real concerned about your kids' educational opportunities. It's to bury your kid in debt so that they can create a credit debt surf for the rest of his life. He hasn't got a clue. He thinks, oh, that's real good. Mom and dad are probably real proud of him. Oh, look at my boy in college, and look at the credit he's got. Credit isn't wealth. You want to be a credit debt surf? Get after more debt. All right, now, if you have a little savings, it could mean a lot when life throws you a curveball like so many of my customers. A death in the family, a lost job, a car accident. All of these things can cause you financial strain in an instant. It's important to be prepared. It's important to have savings, and it's important to be insured. Okay, I'm going to underline the word, it's important to be insured. I don't have any insurance at all. I don't have fire insurance, homeowners insurance, car insurance. I don't buy insurance. Insurance is against the law. It violates the strict liability prescription of Exodus 21, 28 through 36. If you want to buy insurance, get after it. But here again, insurance is one of those luxuries in life that costs money. And when you have a casualty, they won't pay you. Now, just ask anybody that had hurricane insurance down on the Gulf Coast and they had their house destroyed. Go down and ask them now how the insurance company dealt with them. I mean, you can buy the insurance and you can pay the premiums, but you won't collect the premium. I mean, you won't collect the benefit. Pay your premium, but you don't collect the benefit. See, I'm an old-timey insurance claims adjuster, and I can tell you that as a claims adjuster, my job is not to pay you. It's to screw you out of the money if it's at all possible. If there's no other way and we have to pay, I'll pay you, but I'll be damn slow in doing it. That's because I'm protecting the average daily balance. So, you know, if you want to buy insurance, I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success, but I wouldn't buy it. And I don't. But I do save half. Now, let me, in the, I got 5 or 6 minutes here left. Let me describe a little of this save half. No matter how much money you're making today, you're spending it all. Isn't that true? Now, there was a time when I was a kid and I started out in life delivering newspapers and I was making 50 bucks a month. And I spent it all. And then as I grew up and got to be a bigger kid, I got to making $250 a month and I spent it all. And then I ran into an old man. And this old man told me to always save half. He said, no matter how much money you make, you'll always spend it all. So the first thing you do is you take your check, you cash it, take one half out of it and pay yourself first. That's your pay. Now you live on what's left. Can you do that? You bet. You bet you can. Oh, I don't deny now, if you're making $90,000 and spending it all, you can't save 45 of it and live as well as you're doing today on 90. No, sir. But you can live as well as the guy that's making 45 and he ain't doing too shabby. He's above the national average of income earner. Now, if you're making 45 and you pay yourself first, that'd be $22,250. And then you live like the guy that makes $22,000 a year. There's lots of people out there that make $22,000 a year. And they're not driving new cars. And you don't need to drive a new car either. And they don't have health insurance and you don't need health insurance. You know, this BS that you're listening to daily over here, 46 million Americans don't have health insurance. Hell, Moses never had health insurance, and 3 million Israelites coming out of Egypt never had health insurance, and there weren't any Americans that had health insurance in 1900 either. The people that are selling health insurance are trying to make you feel like if you don't have health insurance, you're not up with the Joneses. Hell, I'm not up with the Joneses, and I ain't even trying to play in their league. And that's why I'm free and clear, and that's why I don't have debt. And that's why I always save half, and I always pay myself first. Before I pay some damn insurance company or some damn bank, I'm going to pay George Gordon first. I come first. I come before the government. I come before the insurance company, and I come before the damn banks. Now, I know that's That's self-centered and it's selfish on my part. But I own my cows and I own my cars and I own my own land. And I'm not a credit debt serf. No, I used to be. I used to be, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I smoked the White Owl cigars, and I loved every puff, and I smoked Camel cigarettes. But that was before I could count, before I could read and write and had much good common sense. And then as you grow up in life, you know, you start learning a little bit. And so I want to tell you in today's lesson. Here's today's lesson. We save one half of everything we create and produce. And we pay ourselves first before we pay anybody else. How's that for a new plan? I know, it's a wild new concept. And we're going to cut our standard of living in half. And then we're going to live just as good as the guy that's making half as much as we're making right now today. And there's lots of people out there doing it. The guy that's making $2 a day, boys and girls, $2 a day, times 300 days a year. You know, he's only making $600 a year. So if you're making $1,200, you just live like the average guy in the world, and you can save $600 a year. No matter how much you make, you will spend it all. And the guys that are spending everything that they make are trying to live as well as or better than the guy that's making twice as much as they are. And you can't do that, and you especially can't do that when the government is gouging you by 10.9% inflation per annum. That's a 10.9%. That's an 11% surcharge tax that George Bush has saddled on you, in addition to your income tax and Social Security and 12 other taxes. So tuck that one away in your heart, boys and girls, and always save half. And pay yourself first is rule one for getting out of debt. All right, we'll talk more about that as we progress along, but let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log, our schedule, and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.